Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the NBA is what we're going to discuss for the next several minutes, as horse race caller, friend of mine, Dave Johnson, likes to say, and down the stretch they come for the regular season playoffs just around the corner. Here to give us some NBA insight. He covers it on a day-in, day-out basis for BasketballInsiders.com. Steve Kuyler hops aboard CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Steve?
Jody, I'm well, my friend. How are you?
Good. Last several days of the regular season, it's always fun with teams jockeying for position. Do you believe that you can do that, that you can turn it on and off, win, not win, play to play well enough, but if we lose, it's an okay thing because it could actually help us get an easier matchup in the first round opponent? Is that doable?
In some regards, you know, look, I think you want to be playing your best basketball coming down the stretch because you want to go in kind of knowing what works and what doesn't. You don't want to go into the playoffs with a lot of questions. And I think when you look at, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, they're not going to get the song and dance from the media and from their fans that, you know, say the Golden State Warriors are going to get because they haven't been good. But, you know, there are some teams that are they're one game out, half game out. You look at the Miami Heat, they're still very much alive. Chicago Bulls, Indiana Pacers, they're all trying to stay in this. And then you look at Atlanta and Milwaukee, they're trying to keep the upper seed so that you don't have to see a Cleveland Cavalier team in the first round. So there's some jockeying that's going on. But I think the other part of the comment is, you know, some of this, I think, inconsistency is bred from, you know, if you tell me I don't have to care on Tuesday, why do I have to care on Thursday? And there's some teams that are certainly going through that.
Let me touch on the Cavs, because I said this at the top of the show. Watching Wednesday night's game when they just basically manhandled the Celtics in Boston, they made it look like, yeah, we need to turn on the faucet. That way you're telling us, okay, we will. And they just blow the Celtics out. But then turn around and play a lazy, lousy game against the Hawks after they grab command of the best record in the East and kind of open up the hopes of the Celtic fans and everyone else. They are one of those teams who you look at and go, can LeBron actually do that? Can he turn it on, turn it off? And if he can, and he knows what he's doing, can he allow his teammates to do it? Because it seems from time to time this year, LeBron has taken on a stance of, hey, we're not good enough as an organization. We're not good enough. We need to take this more seriously. Where are the Cavs at in your mind right now?
Yeah, and I would agree with you that, you know, with LeBron James, you kind of know he knows when to bring it, when not to. You know, he's been to so many NBA finals, played so many big playoff games. LeBron's not the guy you ever worry about with the Cavs. It is those supporting players, and it is the Tristan Thompsons, and it is, you know, the Iman Shumperts. Those are the ones that tend to be more hit and miss, hot and cold. You know, Kyrie is pretty consistent, but, you know, the support players for Cleveland are not nearly as dialed in to the regular season as maybe they should be, and I think that's one of the reasons they've been so inconsistent and why they've been so bad defensively.
Yeah, they have been defensively, and if the season were to end right now, and I know we got two or three more games for each of the teams, so this is just a hypothetical stance and statement, and they would be playing Chicago in the first round. Not only have the Bulls swept all four games against the Cavs this year, and yeah, LeBron sat one of those games, but he played in the others, and the Bulls have found a way to win all four of them. The Bulls have played LeBron well, whether it was Cleveland last year and or even going back to his Heat days down in Miami. He's always had trouble with Chicago. Is that a matchup the Cavs would rather avoid in the first round? There's nothing to do about it. I don't think they're going to tank to get second because they want that seventh game against the Celtics if they happen to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals to be in Cleveland. But why is it that the Bulls play the Cavs as well as they do?
Well, because they've got Jimmy Butler. And, you know, when you've got a great two-way, 40-minute-a-game guy that can really play defense, especially play defense on a LeBron James and hang with him physically, it does become a little bit of a counterbalance, and that has been some of the consistent. But then you also have guys like Dwayne Wade and, you know, Robin Lopez. And Robin Lopez is a pretty good, you know, interior player when you're talking about it's Tristan Thompson playing the center position or it's Channing Frye at the center position. So they've got some matchup problems. Look, I don't think when playoffs is stenciled on the floor, the Bulls are going to look quite as good. But, you know, look, the proof is in the pudding. This wasn't just, you know, they beat them in December, beat them in January, beat them in February, beat them in March. You know, it was spread out. And the other part, too, is they won these games after trading away some of their veteran guys and starting to play younger guys more minutes. So I think there's a good sample size here that says that might be a really good series. I don't think the Bulls can win it, but it's a lot closer than maybe the Cavs want it to be, for sure.
We're talking to Steve Kyler from BasketballInsiders.com here on CBS Sports Radio. If you had to take a team that's in the bottom half of the playoff squads, the 5, 6, 7, 8 seeds, or if you want to reach down to a Miami and think that they actually, if they get in, could be a handful, which one's got the best chance of pulling upset in round one?
Well, I think when you start to get into Indiana, Boston, you know, it depends on which Indiana team shows up. If, you know, all MVP Paul George shows up, that's going to be an interesting series. I think Milwaukee has shown tremendous growth this year. Their young guys really coming on, but, you know, they're playing some really good defense, and they've been tough. That's going to be a tough one for Toronto. I think Memphis, San Antonio in the Western Conference, you know, Memphis is built to play a San Antonio, and I think that one's interesting. If it ends up being Houston and Oklahoma City, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, that one becomes pretty interesting. I don't think any of the lower seeds really is going to upset the upper seed, but I do think in this playoffs, both Eastern Conference, Western Conference, I think we're going to see a lot more Game 6s and Game 7s. I don't think anybody's a pushover right now.
As of now, you're right. Oklahoma City and Houston would be featured in a first-round matchup as the 3-6 in the Western Conference. Can the NBA writers, and I don't know if you're one of them that has a vote. Or
I do.
You do? For MVP I'm talking about?
Yep.
Can you petition the NBA to wait till after the first round? You say, well, we don't need to wait till the end of the season, but if you could throw us the first round and let us see Rockets Oklahoma City, it may make it easier for us to decide on either Russell Westbrook or James Harden.
Well, it is a regular season award, so actually there is a deadline of Friday that these things have to be in specifically, so you don't let playoff performances, you know, influence how you look at the regular season. This year it's going to be interesting. All of the postseason awards are going to be announced on June 26th, you know, after the draft in an award show. So it'll be a very different postseason in terms of the award presentation. But, you know, this one's tough. I think even beyond James Harden and Russell Westbrook, which are, you know, your two front runners, LeBron James having an amazing season. You know, Isaiah Thomas, Kawhi Leonard, you know, you look at Steph Curry and what he's done since the All-Star break, what, you know, Kevin Durant's done all season in terms of his efficiency. There's a lot of guys, and then you're not even talking about guys like Anthony Davis that are outside the playoff picture that have just had amazing seasons. It's the best grouping of talent that we can call MVP caliber than we've seen in a really long time.
Don't know if you looked something like this up. I just thought of it today for the first time, realized it, because I was looking at the potential first-round matchups. We just said Houston, Oklahoma could be the 3-6. The 2-7, San Antonio and Memphis, is Gasol against Gasol. Now, we've seen it before. Paolo had spent the last couple of years in Chicago, but when he was with the Lakers, yep. Certainly got a chance to match up against his brother. He used to play with his brother's team. Is there a history between those two? Do they like playing against each other? Sometimes brothers love going against brothers, and there are other groups that hate going against their brothers. Is there a history between these two, and is there any statistical analysis to be done that one brother kicks it up a notch when he faces off against his counterpart or vice versa?
Well, one brother is really much more in his prime than the other, and the two of them do love to play against each other. You know, they've talked about it a number of times when it was the Memphis Lakers matchup, but also they play together for the Spanish national team. And, right, you know, they talk about competing and competing against each other a lot in that regard. They do a lot of things together in the NBA and charities. They support St. Jude. There's a lot of stuff that the Gasol brothers do. statistical analysis, I haven't done any, but I would say that, you know, when you look at the evidence, both of them, when they have the face-off, were really in the top part of their career. I don't know that, you know, it's been quite that this year when you look at kind of the head-to-head with, you know, the Spurs. You know, Powell's had some injuries this year. So I don't think I've got anything. I don't have a gem for you there, Jody, but I'll tell you, it'll be fun for sure because, like I said, those two teams are well constructed for each other and the way they play and how they go about things, both being very defensive minded. And they're not going to be 120 point games like a Warriors game, but they should be a lot of fun.
You are very wisely noncommittal with your MVP leaning, and I won't press you for it because you got till Friday to make up your mind. Are you involved in the group that votes for Coach of the Year? Because I think that is just as debatable as MVP.
It very much is, and much like MVP, you just look across the league in terms of coaches that have done amazing things. Scotty Brooks and what he's done with the Washington Wizards, especially where they were. Jason Kidd, what he's done with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, Steve Kerr with the Warriors. They lose Kevin Durant and run off, 13 straight. It's been really amazing. But the job that Brad Stevens has done in Boston, and the fact that Boston's a half a game out of winning the Eastern Conference, when 2 months ago the idea of anybody but the Cavaliers winning the East would have been out of the question. You know, Brad was the all-star coach. He's got his guys dialed in, and, you know, they're a very good organization. And then Eric Spoelstra, in much the same way, is, you know, everybody kind of knocked on him when they had the big three in Miami that, hey, you know, anybody could coach those guys. Well, he's coaching a bunch of guys you've never heard of and, you know, has them within basically half a game of the postseason. Great coaching jobs all across the league.
Agreed on all fronts. The one guy you didn't mention, did I hear a lot of people mention to potentially win it, is D'Antoni with Houston. And I think that's more Harden than it is D'Antoni. But D'Antoni's system fits him, and I don't know how much adjustments he made to his system. I saw his system in Phoenix and certainly with the Knicks and not work with the Lakers. So I'll give him credit. I just don't think he's the coach of the year. You and I are on the same page. I'm leaning towards Stevens. That's the top. That's the award winners. That's the let's play for the championship. Down the bottom, we've got the teams that are fighting for ping pong balls. Phoenix has been able to sneak a game, now a game and change ahead of the Lakers. The Lakers could really get stiffed here. If they don't get one of those first three picks, the 76ers get their pick. This has been a very disappointing season for the Lakers, a dismantling season with the change at the top and the power structure of the entire organization. They cannot afford to lose their first-round pick.
Well, I would say that you want it. I mean, there's no question the Lakers could use one more young guy, but when you look at the construct of the roster, when you've got a D'Angelo Russell and a Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, Larry Nance Jr., Brandon Ingram, they're okay if they don't get it. But look, you'd love to have a shot at a Markelle Fultz. You'd love to have a shot at Alonzo Ball, Dennis Smith Jr., you know, Jason Tatum, Josh Jackson. There's a lot of guys in this potential draft class that could be huge difference makers and really set the Lakers up going forward. The problem with that pick is it's not only you're going to lose it, you lose it to the 76ers, and you're losing it to the 76ers because of the cost to get Steve Nash. So that one just stings all the way around because you didn't really get anything out of it, out of trading the rights to the pick. So you'd love to see it happen, but the draft lottery has been a cruel bedfellow. The worst team very rarely gets the top overall pick, and the team that's kind of hanging on hoping usually gets their dreams crushed.
All right, last one, and we'll certainly get you back on before we ever get to the NBA draft. I know you come out with a mock draft every once in a while. You just ticked off a couple of the top names in the draft. Where is the biggest drop-off in the top 10 for you? Everyone lists their 10 guys. They put them in the order, the 10 best they think there are. There's a difference between each and every single one of them. Otherwise, you'd rate them differently. Where do you is the biggest drop-off? Is it Fultz and then everybody else? Is it Fultz and Ball and then, okay, is it Fultz and Jackson and Tatum and Ball and then everybody? Where's the biggest drop-off from you between which two spots?
I think you got it there, is that it's Fultz and Lonzo Ball are the two gems of this draft. If you get one of them, you've done really well. And then you get into a really interesting next tier that's got, you know, guys like Dennis Smith Jr., Josh Jackson, Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Jonathan Isaac. You know, you got seven more guys, eight more guys that are going to be really good NBA players, and that'll make the top of this draft one of the more deeper drafts that we've seen, especially when you go back and look at the last two. The last two drafts haven't yielded a whole lot. So the fact that this draft really could give a huge talent injection to the bottom of the league, and when you look at those teams that are at the bottom of the league, they're the ones that have been at the bottom for the last three, 4 years. So there's a real chance here that difference makers come out of those first 10 picks.
Steve,
no
great
question. The first two guys are the guys.
Two guys and then the drop-off. Fair enough. Steve, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Enjoy the wrap-up of the week and get ready for the postseason.
Absolutely, my friend. Be well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.